So we're continuing with these events of the middle of the tribulation. And bear in mind now, we're not going to be here. If you are a believer in the death and resurrection of Jesus, a serious believer, not somebody that just sloughs it off as, yeah, it probably happened, a serious believer, you won't be here. You'll be leaving at the rapture and resurrection, which is guaranteed to happen before this. We are promised in Scripture not to be appointed unto wrath. And God's wrath starts right with the sixth chapter, the first seal on that scroll Jesus takes, and starts the events of the tribulation. So, one person who will become the world leader of the last empire on this earth will be what we call the Antichrist. He has many names, and we're going to explore some of those. But we call him the Antichrist. He will be the leader of the world, the sole leader, like Adolf Hitler was the sole leader of Germany from 1933 to 1945. He was unopposed. The Nazi party, of which he rose to prominence, had exterminated any opposition. He controlled the military. He controlled the Reichstag, which was their governmental body, similar to our capital. He controlled every aspect of life there. They got rid of all the political parties except his. And he controlled the churches, everything. He had no opposition anywhere. And that's what this Antichrist is going to have when he reigns over an earth that is governed by absolute imperialistic structure. There's nothing wrong with an imperialistic entity, just the way you deal with it. And they're going to be dealing with this in a very terrible way. So, there will be a worship of him as if he were God. There will be a false prophet. And this will be the leader of all the pagan religions that are left after the Church of Jesus Christ is gone. Now, there will continue to be people that are saved during the tribulation. But the church proper has a life, and it started on the day of Pentecost, where you see the thousands that were saved there in Acts chapter 2, and it will end at the rapture and resurrection. Those people that either didn't hear the gospel, didn't understand the gospel, not those that denied it, but those that were ignorant of it, many of which will come to be a believer in Jesus Christ during the tribulation. They're going to be hunted down. We're going to look at that. That's all going to be led by the false prophet. He's going to be some worldwide religious leader, and I have no idea who he is. Plenty of speculation, but we'll leave it at that because we really don't know who it'll be. But there definitely will be, because I'm going to show you all the passages wherein he is affirmed as having authority. Then there will be a mark that will be placed on those people who adhere to the governmental authority at that time and are believers, not in Jesus, but will be part of the structure. And we will look at that mark that will be given to them in order to allow them to conduct all commerce. Because without that mark, the world's population will not be able to participate in normal commerce. You're not going to be able to go to Sears or, you know, Ace Hardware or something and just buy something. You're not going to be able to do that. The underground economy between the people who did not take the mark is going to be pretty robust. And then finally, today, we're going to look at the covenant that this Antichrist made with the leaders of Israel, and then he breaks it at the midpoint of the tribulation. 3.5 years in, he's going to break that covenant. They were stupid to even enter into a treaty or covenant of some sort with him because they knew what he was like, but they figured, you know, he's probably going to give them something. We prophesy that it could be a temple because they're going to have a temple. And that's probably what he is going to permit them to do. And they sign a treaty with him, being leery of him, but they should have never signed it. God calls it a treaty of death. And that's the last thing we'll look at today. So let's look at what the text here in Revelation 13 says about worshiping this guy. Not just liking, adhering to the laws, but worshiping him. That's a whole different category of allegiance. Revelation 13, verses 3 to 10 say, "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his death wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshiped the dragon," which is Satan, "and which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him, and continued 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." That's Jesus. "If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints." Now, somehow, this Antichrist, who we believe was killed, and he comes back to life. Now, this is probably a counterfeit resurrection led and controlled by the father of lies, Satan. This Antichrist comes back to life. And what's really interesting is if any of you are familiar at all with the artificial intelligence that is pervading the internet community and communication mediums, it's very interesting, but I'm wary of any of it, where the deception can come from this. I heard a story on a conservative website where a woman got a call from her daughter saying her daughter was in peril, had been accosted, and she wanted her mother to help her. And she said, "I knew that was my daughter." And in further investigation, I found out that that wasn't my daughter. There was nothing wrong with my daughter. But it scared me something straight, you know, to listen to that. And that somebody had performed this hoax on her for some reason. And it was an artificial intelligence capturing the daughter's voice and her manner of speech. And this woman said, "Man, that was my daughter." It wasn't her daughter, but the artificial intelligence capabilities are incredible. I mean, they're taking historical figures through photographs, and if, you know, they were around here in the 20th century, and they're adding movements and they're adding voices and so on from these people when they actually said something. And they're bringing them back to life artificially, obviously, but this stuff can be a very abused activity. And this is probably, I don't have the for sure of this, this counterfeit resurrection, that he came back and the world is just overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. His power over the two witnesses that we looked at in our last section tormented believers for the first 3.5 years. And the two witnesses will be resurrected and disappear from view. They're no longer going to be heard from again because they went to heaven. God brought him back to heaven. The inhabitants of the earth is going to worship the Antichrist as the king of the world and as God. The deception that's coming on this earth during the tribulation is going to be unparalleled. From Daniel chapter 7, we see that a beast, the fourth empire, that comes out of the sea, and the sea in biblical prophecy is the human people, if you will, the whole population of the earth, the Gentile population. This beast that comes out was nondescript. The first three beasts that come out of the sea that Daniel is blessed to see were representations of animals that were represented, were actually animals, imagery that were representing different kingdoms. First one that comes out is a king of the beast, lion. That's Babylon. The second is a like a bear, if you will. That's Medo-Persian. The third is a goat, a ram, if you will. Very powerful. And then comes this other one that Daniel doesn't have a description for. And it breaks everything, breaks what's left of the three previous empires. And then it starts to devour everything around it, and it tramples the earth, and no one can oppose it. It has 10 horns, and those 10 horns, out of those 10 horns comes up an 11th horn. And the 11th horn basically uproots three of them. And the description that follows the interpretation is those ten represent kings of the earth. The earth is going to be divided into 10 geographic or economic, somehow there's going to be 10 individual entities, each with a king. This 11th, this little horn, comes up and kills three of them, and the other 7 submit. And they submit to this Antichrist. That Antichrist is smitten unto death, but the death stroke was healed by a resurrection. Now, Satan gives his authority to this individual. He becomes the counterfeit son of the evil Satan in the unholy Trinity. And just like the Father gave the Son to Jesus, the genuine Father, this Antichrist will get power from Satan. And people will worship him because they think he came back from the dead, just like the Lord Jesus has been worshipped because of what he has done in a genuine manner. Withstand him. It should be noted that the worship is coming from the whole earth. The whole earth. And there's activities, speaking blasphemies, calling himself God, lying about the real God and the celestial beings. He blasphemes everything in heaven. And it's evident from the two witnesses that persecute, that he wants to persecute all believers in Christ, and he will hold political authority over the earth, and everybody will be subject to him. He's not just going to have political authority. He's going to have religious authority, too, because all the unbelievers of the Lord Jesus are going to worship him that have not had their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then in light of this, a warning is given. The very way that men will treat the saints, in other words, those people that become believers, they're going to be treated. No matter how they treat the believers, it's going to happen to them in like manner. Now let's look at who's going to facilitate this thing. This guy that's the false prophet. I know some people say it's some great Mahdi and, you know, in Islam, or the guy that leads the Roman Catholic Church. There's no indication of who it's going to be. It's going to be an apostate leader that is not a real believer, and it may be one of those, but we don't know that. So if you hear somebody saying, well, it's got to be the Pope, it's got to be Scripture's silent. But whoever it is going to have control over all these pagan entities. And there's a lot of them on this earth. So the false prophet gets introduced here in Revelation chapter 13. In verses 11 to 15 state, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had the power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that many, as many that would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." Now, this image of the beast we're going to look at in our next session is the abomination of desolation. The false prophet is going to make a puppet of some sort, like the story in Pinocchio. And he's going to place that puppet in the Holy of Holies of this temple that will be rebuilt for the tribulation. And then Satan's going to cause it to come alive. And we'll look at that in our next session, because it's a very interesting and profound event that will be happening, that the Lord Jesus even spoke of. Now, we're also now dealing here with this false prophet as being the counterfeit Holy Spirit. The rise of the first beast, the Antichrist, John sees a second one coming out. And he's going to speak like the dragon, which is Satan. And he's going to betray his true nature. So he's going to be an agent of Satan. He's not going to be helping anybody. But the world is going to follow these guys because they're worshiping the Antichrist. They've bought into the system of commerce and being able to live a normal life, so they think, by taking the mark of the beast. And we'll look at that in a few moments. The activities of this counterfeit Holy Spirit are now spelled out. He exercises equal authority with the Son, the false, with equal authority with the true Son, the Lord Jesus, in this false entity, this false relationship. And just as the Holy Spirit causes men to worship the Lord Jesus, this guy, this false prophet, whoever he may be, is going to call people to worship this Antichrist. In order to fully carry out this deception, he's going to have some of the power of the counterfeit spiritual gifts of miracles. He's going to be able to do certain things that are going to cause people to look at him and say, wow, you must be telling the truth. You must be the one. And Satan's going to give him this power. And by doing this, he's going to lead people to worship the Antichrist. And after the image is made, it'll be given life by the false prophet. So that completes what we call the counterfeit Trinity. Our Trinity is God the Father, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Their unholy Trinity is Satan, and then his son, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. Now, in order for allegiance, they're going to create a specific mark that humanity will have to take, an indelible mark. Now, people have called it, you know, a computer chip or something. We don't know exactly what it is, but it is a visible mark that people will take, allowing them to conduct normal activity, commerce. Without this, you're not going to be able to go to the store and buy. You're not going to be able to rent anything. You're not going to be able to get a house. You're not going to be able to do anything. If you just think about your normal activities today, all of them will be gone where commerce is involved. Leasing, buying, renting, whatever. Gone. You won't be able to travel on highways. You won't be able to pay tolls. Nothing. Everything will be gone. And they want to control this by having everybody take this mark. So, the three verses that actually epitomize this are in Revelation 13. Let's read from verse 16 to 18. And he, the Antichrist, causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark on their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that has the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 600, 666. 666. That is somehow emblazoned on the hand and forehead of the people that take this. This is the completion of the counterfeit nature, and this is we call like a supernatural sealing, if you will. The counterfeit seal is called the mark of the beast. And this just allows the right hand or the forehead. And it's got to be visible. It's not just something that is, I don't believe it's embedded, but it could be. It's visible where commerce can be conducted. You know, I think if somebody's in a grocery line or you're going to the hardware or something, you're not going to have to pull out a wallet to show somebody that you have given allegiance to this evil government. No, they're going to see you're part of it. And you'll be able to conduct commerce and live a normal, so to speak, life in an evil empire. The whole earth is going to be led by evil. And I called it a super passport. You can see in your notes there. And it's got nothing to do with banking systems and credit or any of this. It's an individual. It's an individual thing. And it's not going to be an individual number for every person. It's going to be the same, 666. So it's going to include the name of the beast, the number of his name, the number of the beast, the number of a man, and the number is 666. Now, you recall from way back in Genesis in the creation account, the creation ended with six, an incomplete number. And then God rested on the seventh day and it was complete. So the number seven in Scripture is God's completion, completeness, if you will. Number six is incomplete. So it's no mystery or error that this mark, this government is going to require to make allegiance to the beast. Once an individual makes that allegiance, they are no longer able to become an opponent of the government and a believer in Jesus Christ, one of the saints of the tribulation. Now, the interesting aspect of this from the biblical text is there is a concept called, Gematria. The Hebrew Bible is Old Testament is written in Hebrew and the New Testament is written in Greek. Those translations have something called a gematria. And what that means is each of those languages have letters. The Hebrew letter, we'll look at that, has 22 letters and it's all consonants. Hebrew has no numbers. If you looked at a Bible that was written all in Hebrew, selling in Jerusalem primarily, they won't say chapter 1. They don't have numbers. They say chapter Aleph. That's the first letter of the Hebrew Bible. And the second chapter would be Bet, the second letter. So it's Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet. And through the alphabet, so they will put down a letter for a number. And that's how it is. Now, what I've done is I've put all those letters into a number that they represent in your notes. And that's how this name of this Antichrist at his time is going to be given. So the 666 is going to apply to him as his name in the gematria, and we don't know what it is. We can guess, but we can't guess accurately because we don't know how it's going to be unfolding. But that's the most probable way of describing this. The Greek text has the same thing. So if we took Jesus' name, Christ, and we added up those numbers, each one would have a number, and it would be 749. We don't know what the Antichrist name is going to come out of this, but it will be revealed. Hopefully we're not here. I mean, I know we're going to be taken out before the tribulation, but I'm not 100% sure before the tribulation if he's going to be on this earth. Some think not. Some think he may be. He won't be in power while we're here, but he may be coming into power. He may be like standing in the wings, so to speak, getting ready to take power. There are 33 biblical names for the Antichrist in the Old Testament. The term Antichrist is a New Testament, and it in general refers to anybody that's opposing the Lord Jesus. But I will go through these rather quickly, but just to let you know that these names are valid designations and activities of this Antichrist that's coming on the world. Adversary, Assyrian, Belial, bloody and deceitful man, branch of the terrible ones, chief prince, crooked serpent, cruel one, destroyer of the Gentiles, enemy, evil man, head over many countries, head of the northern army, idol, shepherd, king of princes, king of Babylon, little horn, man of the earth, merchant, deceit, oppressed, mighty man, nail, prince that shall come, prince of Tyre, profane, wicked prince of Israel, proud man, rod of God's anger, seed of the serpent, son of the morning, spoiler, destroyer, vile person, violent man, wicked, wicked one, Jeremiah, from Wicked, Wicked One, that's Jeremiah 30, and then willful king. Now, some of those, depending on the context, would not be applied to him, but that's why I put those Bible verses, because the Bible verse is in that designation using this name in this evil sense of this wicked person. There's only 12 names in the New Testament that we have. It's the angel of the bottomless pit, the Antichrist from 1 John, beast, father of the lie, lawless one, man of sin, one come in his own name, prince of darkness, son of perdition, star, unclean spirit, and vine of the earth. Now, the comparison in the reign of Adolf Hitler and the Nazi Party for those 12 years is to be understood because in Bible typology and life typology, we see these sorts of activities, and you can get a feel, if you will, for what this guy is going to do and how Hitler performed everything that he did. Big mouth. Adolf Hitler spoke in a way that mesmerized the population. When he spoke in Nuremberg and had the pageantry and the way he spoke, people said he swayed them in an uncontrolled manner. His Secretary of State, Joachim Ribbentrop, at his hanging, they hung him after the Nuremberg trials. He said, you just got to understand that guy. He said, I know what he did. I know how bad he was. And if he came in here right now and told me to do things, I'd do it. We couldn't prevent ourselves. He had a mesmerizing way of commanding his will. And he would have these speeches where he was sweating and shaking and it was just incredible what he did. If you've ever listened to any of those speeches, even if you can't understand German, you can watch him and see what he's doing and how the people just swayed and did whatever he wanted. Son of Satan, an intellectual genius, he was able to develop a system to take over everything in Europe. And he was on his way to taking over the earth. My father, who was in an intellectual intelligence unit of Patton's Third Army, he said, we were really all concerned that no one could beat him. That was before D-Day. He said, and then Barbarossa was Hitler's biggest mistake going against Russia, because the Russians were able to take his folks down. I mean, Hitler was so confident that he could beat the Russians, he didn't consider their winters, and he didn't send his troops in there with any winter clothing. They all had their summer clothes. They figured in that blitzkrieg, lightning war, it'll be over in weeks. It didn't get over at all. And the Russians actually, on the Eastern Front, actually took the Germans down. Hitler made a couple of mistakes. And I remember my father telling me, he said, no one expected him to go down. It was scary to see what this guy was capable of doing. That's what the Antichrist is going to do, the exact same thing. Oratorical genius, political genius, a commercial genius, a military genius, a governmental genius, and a religious genius. The Antichrist is going to be helped by the false prophet and by the unsaved people of this world that had bought into that system. Now, we're going to close here with this covenant that the Antichrist will make with the Jews and that he then breaks. And this goes back to Daniel. Now, 11 verses 40 to 45. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships. And he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. He shall also enter into the glorious land. That's the Holy Land, Israel. And many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand. Edom, Moab, and the chief of the children of Ammon. That's Lebanon today. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries. The land of Egypt shall not escape, but he shall have power over the treasures of gold, of silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his step. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. Take away many. Make away enemy. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain, yet he shall come to his end and none shall help him. So, he enters into the glorious land, Israel. And this invasion includes the breaking of the covenant with the Jews that he made at the beginning of the tribulation. That's the starting point of the tribulation where we look at him making this treaty, this covenant. Now, again, we know that the real believers are gone long before this stuff happens, before the signing of this covenant, and at the exact middle, or 3.5 years, he's going to break this covenant with them. And we're going to look at that in our next session. Because what he does with those Jewish leaders is he turns against them. They knew this in the beginning, but they bought into his lie thinking, well, we'll be preserved. Well, they weren't preserved or will not be. And we'll look at this in greater detail in our next session when we look at the abomination of desolation that the Lord Jesus prophesied in Luke chapter 21. The text in Isaiah referring to this says, wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men. This is God speaking through Isaiah to the future leaders of Israel that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we made a covenant with death and with hell, are we at agreement? When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay on the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding places. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it. From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. For morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night. It shall be a vexation only to understand the report, for the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on, and the covering narrower than that he can wrap himself in. For the Lord shall rise up as in the Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Now, therefore, be not mockers, lest your hands be made strong. For I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a consumption even determined upon the whole earth. Now, here's Isaiah getting this message, and he's given these Jewish leaders of the future in his time. Bear in mind, Isaiah was 700 years before Jesus came. And he's writing prophecies during the period of the tribulation. And he's saying, the things that you have done, thinking you're covering yourself, he said, it's like a guy that's too long for the bed, or he takes a blanket and it doesn't even cover him. You guys have looked in the wrong place for help. And when we went through Isaiah, I spoke about this a lot, you know, and wrote a lot about it. But the essence here is he's criticizing the Jews, the Jewish leaders, for following the Antichrist. And this is the passage that says the Antichrist is going to turn on you. The covenant will be broken. And you guys were too stupid to follow him. You should have never done it. He calls it a covenant from hell. You know, and he says, you were not looking at me. And how many times this has happened to the nation Israel by kings that turned away from him? You know, when they had that civil war, that split in 931 B.C., there were 10 regions that coalesced in the north. And from then until 722 approximately, every one of their kings was evil. And in the south, Judah, they only had a few that was good. They were evil. And here's what Isaiah is saying. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. Now, we'll go forward from that next week and look at what the results of that are. Let us pray.